Talking Trees with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we take a call. That's the best time to try and call and catch that open line. Gary, welcome to the program. Your first this segment. Yes, sir.
I'll try to make a long story short. About 9 years ago, I planted a Palo Verde tree and grew really nice and kept it trimmed with nice canopy. And it came down in a storm a couple of years ago. Most of it came down in a storm. I decided to take the whole tree out and had it ground up the stump. And had another guy come in and plant a real nice Palo Brea for me about 10 feet away from where that one was, because he said, you can't plant it in the same spot where the old tree was, okay? Well, now I've got the shoot that came up in April where the old tree was, and I thought, I'm going to let it go and see what happens. Last April, it's 8 feet tall, where the Palo Verde. And I'm thinking, should I keep it or should I tear it out now? Because it's almost touching the Palo Brea's branches. Am I going to have a problem somewhere down the line?
Yeah, it sounds like you've already got a little bit of a crowding issue. And it's unfortunate because the old rootstock, you know, the sprout that came up from the old tree is likely to be more vigorous because there was an established root system of a 9-year-old tree that was, it kind of gave that sprout a head start. And we've had that happen quite often. We've cut trees down and we've allowed them just to re-sprout and to regrow just to kind of see what kind of a tree we could get from that spot where a tree fell and broke and for other reasons we had to be taken down. And we've been surprised because those trees just do so well. They almost do better than a new plant, because the new plant, of course, the roots have to get established before the tree can put a lot of top growth on. And sometimes it's several years before that root system gets established. But a tree that emerges from an old root system often has a real head start on a newer plant. So, yeah, you'll have to probably make a decision at some point or let the two grow up together. I don't mind a blended canopy in the landscape. That's the way trees grow in their native settings, quite often close to one another, and then the canopies grow together, and it provides a larger, canopy spread. So you'd have to kind of make that decision, maybe let them grow up together and see how they look after the next year or two.
Because it's not really going to hurt it. And then if he decides he doesn't like it, then he can always cut it back out.
The trees will compete for sunlight, and so they will grow differently. If you allow that those trees to stay in there together, they are going to not grow as upright. If a tree dominates that space and has all the available sunlight without competition from its neighbor, it's going to grow. It'll have more of a uniform shape. The problem is when you put two of them in together, they start growing away from one another. And you can distort the shape of your landscape plants if they're too crowded. So you have to make that decision if you want to live with that, with those two blended canopies, or get rid of one of them so that the other tree can dominate the space.
We appreciate the call, Gary. Some text questions. We've got a 602 area code wants to know what to do to keep a mesquite healthy. That's one that shouldn't be really struggling right now.
Yeah, mesquites generally don't have issues with health and vitality. Is there a question there?
That's the extent of it. So they obviously have a mesquite that's struggling. Is that, if you've got a mesquite struggling, are you just best going and cutting it down and starting to, maybe a metal tree is right for you, a sculpture?
Yeah. No, you know, mesquite trees that have issues, you know, we immediately start thinking about girdling roots or some other structural issue, because as a rule, they're one of the most bulletproof of all the trees, and they don't have a lot of natural pest and insect and disease problems. So if you've got issues with any of your trees, if you've got a disease or a problem that you're facing, please feel free to call through to our office during the normal business hours, and schedule an appointment with one of our certified arborists who work throughout the valley, and they're happy to come by, give you an assessment, and try to help you solve some of those riddles. And we're happy to put eyes on those problem trees and try to get them back on their feet.
Another text question we've got from the Mesa area. They have a lemon tree, and for several years now, they're fighting mushrooms that are growing underneath the tree. And they're trying to figure out how to keep them from coming back. And their concern is with dogs and other pets eating the mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Not sure that I can answer your question about the danger to the pets eating the mushrooms, because there are different types of mushrooms, and you need to be able to identify them to see if there's a risk there. But we have a problem sometimes with mushrooms that emerge underneath our plants. Sometimes they'll just be connected to the emitters themselves, wherever there is a moisture or a saturation pattern. It's the conditions are good for mushrooms to start forming, and any kind of fungal pathogens require the presence of water to be active. And if that emitter is cycling pretty frequently, sometimes mushrooms can emerge right there where that water is. In fact, right outside the KTAR building here, we noticed a week or two ago a bunch of mushrooms that are coming up wherever there's an emitter under some of the oak trees. And we took a bunch of pictures and have sort of circulated them around some of our colleagues to identify those. And it is problematic. It's a very easy fix if you wanted to simply use a fungicide to tamp them down, but to actually control the fungal activity. But we're interested to know why this is going on, and it might be better for you to modify your watering to try to reduce the moisture levels in those areas to try to control the fungus that way, rather than put a systemic fungicide down to try to kill the fungal activity. It sounds to me that there might be a little bit too much water, which is giving rise to those mushrooms.
And for a fungicide, do you have a brand that you guys use?
Well, there's several that are commercially available, and we use Subdue quite often, which is a widely used commercial product that's very effective and broad spectrum.
If it's not available for consumer, you can go. She's in Mesa. They're at Treeland Nursery, the Waltimar family, Keith or Don. I'm sure they've got something on their shelf they can recommend to you.
Absolutely.
We appreciate the text. We've got, before we get to our next point, we've got olive spray coming up soon, but we've got Mike next on the line that we're going to bring on air and see how we can help him on this beautiful Saturday morning. Mike, good morning.
Yeah. Yes, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Hey, I had two sisu trees, and they were probably 10 years old. Well, I'll cut to the chase. They annihilated my yard with root system. I went and rented a 3-foot-deep trencher and trenched my yard, the whole perimeter, and then two trenches down the center, tore up everything because I needed to sever these all the roots. They were going crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's after I cut the trees down, stump ground them, poisoned them, all that. 2 years later, after I had no water to them, kept treating the stumps that were exposed in the trenches. And don't forget, I dug 3 feet down with this trencher. After killing those roots, I buried all the stuff, put new sprinklers in, put new sod in, started watering. 2 weeks later, I had 50 trees growing up in my yard again. How long roughly will I have to keep no water and all that before these things are dead?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Or can it never happen?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about the headaches, because you're not alone with your struggle in trying to control those. You know, it's not a matter of trying to starve them out, because they by just cutting back the water, unfortunately, that root material can sit in the soil for a long, long time. It would be better actually to water it and push as much vegetative growth as you can, and then continue to treat them with a contact herbicide. It is a couple of year process. We've been working with a couple of our customers over the last year or two, and it vigilance does win the day, but it requires constant treatments over a long period of time. And again, by watering and pushing that vegetative growth, then you have more leaf surface and more root surface that's treatable. We actually have gone down and dug down and tried to expose as much of the root material below ground as we can so that there's more surface area to treat. So rather than just treating the vegetative growth that emerges above ground, even digging down and finding out where those where that leafy material is connected and exposing as much of that root material below ground and treating there as well is part of the treatment protocol. But yeah, you just have to continue
keep on keeping on.
Yeah, you're doing the right thing, and if you can, in those trenched areas too, if you can be exposing some of the root material there and treating below ground, you'll have some good uptake and hopefully translocation of the materials into the larger root system that's below ground.
It's when they're cut out that the problem really seems to manifest itself. As long as the tree's growing and you've got the host tree, those shoots don't become a problem. But as soon as that host tree's gone, it just seems like sisus turn into a nightmare, which is a shame because they are a beautiful tree. And a canopy of four or five of them, man, it's a great shade canopy.
Yeah, for that reason, they were very, very popular, 25, 30 years ago, and were planted quite widely throughout the valley. And now they've a lot of them are becoming very problematic. Yeah, they're becoming a real issue and unfortunately destroying a lot of yards.
Now, when you get that replaced and you get that, what's another tree that you would like to see go back in place instead of a sisu, but you want the canopy, you want the green? What would you plant?
Well, we talked about last month the ash trees, the Fantex ash, some of the other cultivars of the ash are similar in size and appearance to the sisu. The Texas live oak is another great one, and the pistache, the Chinese pistache. Those are three trees that I'd put in place of a sisu.